Good morning, Solomon's Porch. My name is Janie, and I lead Fortress House Church. Let me get started first with a word of prayer. Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for your provision and your guidance, Lord God. I thank you that, Lord, that you first loved us and that helps us to walk out to love ourselves, Father God, and love one another and love others, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that that you would just cleanse my tongue, Father God, and just lead me and just Holy Spirit, that you would give me the words to speak, the right words at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll get started with watching a video, and it's about Matthew 10, 26 through 42.
Or hidden that will not be made known. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
So we'll also be reading from Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, so please feel free to follow along. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So this is actually my first time sharing at EMP in a setting like this. And to be honest, when I first heard that we had to share, I was kind of mortified. I'm pretty shy and introverted, contrary to popular belief. And I'm also a hustler. So initially, when I heard that we had to share, and Pastor Kenny asked us, who couldn't make it Tuesday to Friday? Like, I immediately raised my hand. But of course, what he meant was that if you were a teacher or you couldn't actually physically make it, so I realized I had to do it, and God was working on my heart when it came to this. And I felt like God was just telling me that he had given me a voice and asked me to make an impact. And I think that actually goes for all of us. No matter how big or small in the world's eyes, that we are to make a impact for God and also an impact for the kingdom. And I was really praying and wrestling about what to share about. And I opened up my Bible and read the title for Matthew chapter 10. And it says, The 12 Disciples' Instructions for Service. In verses 24 to 42 is titled, The Meaning of Discipleship. So I just felt like actually God was really speaking to me directly about my heart posture when it came to serving. And so as I kind of was reading the verses for, probably I've read them maybe 20 times because I wasn't really sure how to dissect it. I've never done this before. You know, God, why me? But actually I should be like, God, send me, let me do it. So the first thing I did was I actually studied about what it means to be a disciple. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus. What does that mean? You know, in the age of self-help books, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but a lot of them are, you know, top 10 reasons to, you know, do such and such, or top 10 ways to be healthy or have joy or something like this. But I felt like God was reminding me that we are to put into action what the Bible says. So if the Bible is actually our manual, not just to serve, but actually to life, and it's our instructions, then we should find the answers of what we need in the Bible and not in other sources. So actually the Bible should be our primary source, not our secondary or our tertiary source. So there are a lot of times, to be honest, when I feel stuck. I don't really know what actions to take. Maybe there is a myriad of different ways to go about things. And a lot of it comes obviously with ministry, but also with marketplace. We hear the words strategy, framework, action plan, ways to drive business a lot. And this example is specific to work, but I do believe that God gives us direction. So a lot of us here who are in the marketplace, or it doesn't matter whether or not you know, you work in banking or you are a stay-at-home mom or whatever is your occupation, that actually our identity is all rooted in God. And what that really means is that God wants us to come to him no matter how big or small, how complex the problem or the situation that we need, that actually he will give us a blueprint, because actually he is the master architect. The second point, and I have quite a few points I learned from P. Sam to have many points, is fear. To be a disciple means to not have fear. So Matthew 10:26-28, it says, Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the rooftops or housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them fall to the ground apart from your father? And as I have been reading this and meditating on this, I think it really struck me the relevance in where we are today. Not in the place that we are like sitting, or kind of wondering what to do, but actually that we are to stand with God in this situation. I think Hong Kong is definitely in the last year, as well as the world, had a lot of challenges. The protests, COVID-19, geopolitical situations across the world, as well as many other economic situations. And we should not fear these things, but instead we should run to God, and we should know that He is our fortress. And I love Psalm 91. I won't read that because we don't have time. But I just really encourage you guys, if you are feeling like you need a reminder that God is your fortress and God is your deliverer, to really meditate on Psalm 91. And the other thing about this passage was that actually not to have the scary kind of fear when it comes to God, but a healthy fear. And I think what actually that comes out of is that God first loved us, and it allows us to not only love, you know, one another in the body of Christ, but also love ourselves, which I think is also very important, as well as loving others in the place where we're actually planted in this season. Alignment and calibration. So there's an image that God has spoken to me about repeatedly about living in alignment, and it's actually about cars. And I know nothing about cars. Maybe, you know, it has wheels and, you know, it'll take you places. But I felt like this image of driving a car was actually about following God and the life of a disciple. It's actually God is in the passenger seat and He's driving, and we're actually, God is in the driver's seat and He's driving. Sorry, God. And then we are in the passenger seat, but sometimes we feel like we should be in the driver's seat, just like the slip that I just made. And that actually a lot of times throws off our alignment, or causes us to veer off track or fall into a pothole. And I think that that pothole or veering off track can be many things. It could be discouragement, it could be hurt, bitterness, hopelessness, helplessness, whatever it may be, but it throws us off course. And the only way we can really come back into alignment is really to pursue God by spending time with Him, reading His Word, praying, seeking, knocking, asking, and sometimes even laying before God in ugly crying moments, which I'm sure that you have had. If not, then I encourage you to go before God, that you'll really, as you lose yourself, that you really find your life in Him. So last year, I actually embarked on a passion project, and basically the idea was really to encourage people. However, I will be very honest to admit that actually I have been brought to a standstill since probably about last year, the end of last year. And it was because I thought that it was not the right timing. It was fear of the unknown, fear of not wanting to pursue something in the midst of unrest or economic instability, fear of failing before even really trying. But really, it was just a reminder to me, as I was preparing for this sharing, that God has given myself, but actually each and every one of us, a mission to make an impact, and that we need to chase after passionately. And a lot of times, I just had an image of someone who's fallen on the ground, and you know, we can get up by ourselves, but sometimes it will take a long time. Or sometimes maybe we don't have the energy or the encouragement to do so. But actually, I felt like by extending out our hand, it's actually an action. So it's not about self-preservation, but it's actually an actionable way to encourage someone and pull them up. And I think a lot of times in these situations, we may say encouraging things, but also we also need to be ignited into action. And I am going to, I feel like I need to run through and skip some of these. But what I did want to talk about was actually part of being a disciple is to witness. We are all part of the body of Christ, and you know, we are told not to worry or have fear in what seems like chaos and confusion, as PCM shared before previously. And God knows that He has deemed us all to have value and identity in Him. And part of being a disciple is, as Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And because we are disciples, because we are serpents, because we are worshipers of Christ, that we actually need to go out there. Like, this is the opportune kairos moment of opportunity to make an impact and to share the gospel. So recently, in the midst of COVID-19, I've been praying for joy despite the circumstance. And I was meditating on Nehemiah 8:10, which actually says, then he said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I've really been praying for this in the midst of the circumstances in Hong Kong, in China, in Korea, all over the world. And in my workplace, I've been praying for a lot of joy and, you know, just cracking jokes and just trying to lighten the mood, because I can feel the tension and the heaviness. It's almost like it can really cut through the air. And somebody asked me, actually many people have asked me, why are you so happy? So I told my colleague, I'm not happy because happiness comes from my circumstance. And they kind of looked at me like, you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? And so I told them, well, you know, I actually have joy. I may not be happy with certain things that are going on with my life, but I have joy. And what that means is that I have joy, and joy is from God, and it's not dependent on my circumstance. There's actually no correlation. And with that, they kind of just laughed. It did open up opportunities to share and have more conversations about God and faith and prayer and what that means. And I really want to encourage everyone that there are a lot of opportunities to witness and to share in our sphere of influence. And I think that sphere of influence for each and every one of us could look different. It could be, you know, your colleagues. It could be the factories that you work with. It could be your vendors, whoever it is that you are in contact with. I mean, we spend, you know, 40, sometimes 100 plus hours at work. And, you know, that's really where we are to go and to make a difference, to speak the word of God and to be light in a place where it is actually darkness, that's actually governed by more about KPIs, or it's telling us to squeeze people and, you know, get more out of them, or, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like the framework and the strategy of God and how we should operate in the marketplace is very different. I think one of the things that I did want to touch upon is fear and anxiety and insecurity when it comes to sharing the gospel or sharing about God. I think it's easy to share amongst our brothers and sisters, but in a place where it's driven by profit or, you know, P&L or whatever it may be, that it seems a little bit challenging to actually break through that and to share. But I was on a prayer call yesterday, and actually Lisa prayed about having God confidence, and I think that kind of reminded me that we are not to have confidence or security in ourselves, but rather security and confidence in God, so that we would be able to, if we don't know the words to speak, ask Holy Spirit to give us words, so that a word of knowledge or a simple word of encouragement, because I believe at the end of the day, everyone wants to be loved, understood, and appreciated, and everyone is unique in the way that they actually feel this. So I think that Holy Spirit is an amazing guide that is always with us to be able to teach us how to give these words, or to be light in the darkness, or to be salt. And for the body of Christ to really come together to continuously encourage each other, but also in a healthy and a gentle way to challenge one another to go forth and to push in this direction, to be able to share our faith boldly and in God confidence. So love and generosity is the last point that I will make. Ephesians 3:14-19, it reminds me that we should be rooted and grounded in love, and God's love cannot be contained. And I think right now there's a lot of different examples of people being treated differently based on their race or where they're from. And You know, God's love really goes beyond borders. It goes beyond countries, people groups, culture, skin color, bank accounts, skill sets, your positions. How you are deemed by the world is very different than the way that God actually views you. And a lot of times, even the way that we view ourselves. And so I just felt like God wanted us to just remind us to lay down our intellect or lay down our experience and our skills and to receive the fact that his love surpasses all understanding and knowledge, and our Father knows best. And, you know, in the midst of preparing for this sharing, I actually had a crazy dream last night, and I woke up at 3:30. And the dream was basically I was here and I was sharing, and it was just actually a reminder for me that it's true that our, you know, the war and the battlefield in our mind, in the spiritual realm and the physical realm, is not necessarily everything that we can see. And basically the dream was that I was sharing, but then I was actually being criticized for my sharing, which even if it happens, it's fine. But actually I couldn't actually muster the words to speak. So I just like was sitting there, standing there frozen, and we didn't actually get to the worship and the prayer time. And I felt like that was a reminder to me from God that actually this battle is really in the spiritual, and also the battle is to push through and to actually pray, because prayer is what changes things. Yes, we do need to act and we do need to charge forth, but at the same time, we need to seek God, we need to ask him, we need to meditate on his word, we need to calibrate, we need to align, and we need to pursue him with passion and with abandon and without calculation. Because I think a lot of times we're rationalizing things in our head, or we're trying to figure out where to fit God in this picture of my life. And I think that reminds me of how at one point in my life, I was walking on the other side of where I am now, and just reminded that actually a life of a disciple is not just on Sundays. It's not just with our Christian brothers and sisters. It's that consistency of being who God has created us to be, not Sunday or whenever day is our house church, but actually Monday through Sunday, Christian friends, non-Christian friends, you know, our families. And sometimes I think a lot of times the people who are closest to us who are not believers, it can be really difficult to explain to them what we're doing, right? Whether or not it's the fast or how much time we're spending at church, or the fact that we're even coming to church right now during this COVID-19 situation. So I just want to wrap up and just say that I really want this time, as we, you know, go into prayer, and the worship team, Pandrew will come up, is to really just identify and empower each and every one of you, that actually God has given you a purpose, a calling, a destiny, that is unique to you and you alone. And your sphere of influence will look very different, perhaps. Maybe there will be areas that intersect with some other brothers and sisters, but you are unique and you are you. And I just wanted to remind all of you in this. And I don't know what you're going through. Maybe it's difficulties in your marriage or your families, with your kids, with your jobs, with your bosses, whatever you feel like may be your cross to bear in this season. God's purpose for our lives transcends the problems and challenges. He is in the business of turning our hopelessness into hope, our crucifixions into resurrection, our sadness into joy, our anger into peace. And Romans 3:23 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose." And if any of you are wondering in what ways to serve or to step out, I just wanted to remind you of this verse where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," in Romans 3:23. there was a time in my life where actually I did not want to serve or do anything that called any attention to me within the church body, because I was ashamed. I was ashamed of the lifestyle I was leading. I didn't want other people to know me outside of church and then see me inside of church. So I went in and out like a ninja. But there was a sermon where actually P. Sam shared this on the pulpit, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And for me, I felt like that was really speaking to my heart that, you know, none of us are there yet. We're all a work in progress. So as we listen to this song, I just want you guys to meditate on, what is your cross? What is your sphere of influence? Where do you need God confidence to step out? Actually, I just felt like sharing a blessing. I'll just pray through this. Yeah, Father God, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that your word is real and it's true. I just pray, Father God, our minds are a battlefield, Lord, that there are lies that exist. It may have happened through hurts, through things that may not have unfolded yet in our lives, or whatever it may be, Lord God. But I pray, Father God, through the application of identifying what those lies are, Lord God, nailing those to the cross, and asking you for what is the truth, Lord God, and for each and every lie, Lord God, that you've given us your word as Emmanuel, Father God, to be able to identify whether or not that is in line from you, Father God, whether or not you would say those things to us, Father God. So I pray, Lord God, that as we come before you, Father God, and inquire of you, Lord God, that you would speak to us, Father God, that you will reveal your face in a more powerful way, Lord God. So I bless my brothers and sisters, Father God. I bless them with a heightened sense of discernment, Father God, during these times. That in those Kairos moments, Father God, that you would tug on the heartstrings, Father God, and remind them, Father God, that you love them, Lord God, that there is absolutely nothing to fear. There is no anxiety that they need to feel, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that you remind each and every one of us that our security comes from you and you alone. So I bless every all the brothers and sisters, Father God. I bless them with just more of your joy, Father God, joy that only comes from you, Lord God. And I bless them in this period of time, Father God, with security and identity, Father God, that is fortified in you, Lord God, that you are a strong foundation, that your love is a strong foundation, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that whatever are those things that are hindering anyone in their walk, Father God, or even in their pursuit of you, or walking out their calling and destiny, I pray, Father God, that we would be a church, that we would be a tribe to really pursue after you, but also that we would reach out that hand and pull, Father God, pull one another into the path that we are supposed to go on, Father God. We need that community. We need that accountability, Father God. And so I bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters that you would give them a community, Father God. It may not be the natural community that they think, Father God, but it's the community and the peloton that you have brought into their lives, Lord God. So I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go into community prayers. So if we can first pray for our community that has cancer, chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray bold prayers, guys, in faith that there will be full healing and restoration, that there will be miracles, and it will build up faith. Actually, sorry, can I ask something? For those of you who are here in person, do you guys mind to stand and that we could pray together? I just feel like there's something and in this to just stand in agreement of the prayers that we're praying. So if you can, then if you could please stand and let's really just battle for our brothers and sisters. Let's continue to pray for miraculous healing and illness as well as salvation, that they would really experience God, that there would be divine appointments. whether or not it's the doctors or the hospital staff that are believers, that they will pray bold prayers and they would encourage this body. Continue to pray over these infirmities that is our community, and our friends or our families, and others, that there would also be full healing in these areas, no matter how big or small, that God has a desire to heal. So let's just press into that right now. And actually, can we specifically lift up P. Andrew? I just felt like we should just pray for you. Just pray for full restoration of his hearing. Let's pray for our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for that one job and that divine appointment that God is going to open in the name of Jesus. Let's pray over missions. Let's pray for China, SP Beijing, Pastor Hyunsu, Chloe and their family, SP Shanghai, P. Ricky, Steph and their family, the Chong family, Matt and Nae Chung's parents, and the churches in China. Let's pray for the board. P. Sam, P. Nate, Kiwan, Jackie, Connie, Sue, Ken, Marcus, Sandeep, and Monica. Let's pray for fellowship, specifically young adults, as well as the men's ministry. There's a Monday prayer group, Pure Desire, as well as women's ministry. There's a retreat this weekend on Saturday and Sunday in Noah's Ark. So we can cover all these different ministries and their fellowship time, that it would be powerful, that it will be refreshing, and it will really encourage us and calibrate us during this time. Let's pray for SP 2.0, for building and resources, for benefactors, for Vision Fund, that God is in control and that He'll bring the right people in the right season and the right funds. And there will be wisdom in stewarding these funds and to build SP 2.0. Let's pray for the house churches that will be meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Fortress, yay, that's my house church. Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventress. Yeah, let's just pray for deeper community and deeper relationships, and that will really charge each other up to be light and salt wherever we're placed in this season. Let's pray for our home. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Just pray for peace in our city. Let's pray for healing, inner healing, physical healing. Let's pray for unity amongst the churches, and that God would use our city. I'll just end us with a word of prayer. Yeah, Lord, teach us how to pray, for we do not know how to pray. And I just pray, Father God, that you would just show us, Father God, the prayers of your heart, Lord God. Break our heart for what breaks yours, Lord God. Help us to love like you love, Father God, without calculation, without borders, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that you would just ignite, Father God, that fire in our spirits right now in the name of Jesus, that you would fan that flame, Father God, whether or not we're in a season where we feel like we're on fire, or we feel like we've lost a little bit of steam, we feel like we're stuck, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray, Father God, that you would just light us up right now and fan that flame. May we be a community that helps one another and challenges peacemakers, Father God, that we will really be a body of Christ that just pursues you, Father God, with passion, Father God, that that we would seek you, that we would ask you, Father God, anything, whether small or big, Lord God, because you care about those things. And so, Lord, I pray, Father God, in this season that you would help to identify, Lord God, what are our spiritual gifts? We learned about this in the sermon series, Lord God, but I just pray, Father God, I just nail any discouragement right now in Jesus' name to the cross. I nail any sense of helplessness, hopelessness, fear or anxiety, insecurity, or even confusion, Father God, to the cross right now in Jesus' name. And I just ask, Lord, that you would take over, Father God, and really show us, Father God, that you have uniquely designed us, Father God, that you are the master architect, that you have a blueprint that is beyond anything we can fathom, Lord God, that your knowledge, your omnipresence, your omniscience, Father God, is much greater than any strategy or action plan that we have, Father God. So as you submit our worries or anxieties or our fears, Father God, or even our questions to you, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you remind us that you meet us where we're at and you can speak exactly into our situation. And I pray, Father God, that you would remind us that you love us, and through that overflow of love, Lord God, that we would be reminded to love ourselves, but also to love one another, Lord God, that we do not lack for anything, that we will flow from a place of overflow and not from a place of dryness. So in the name of Jesus, I just ask, Lord, that you would just open up the floodgates, Father God, of refreshing, of encouragement, of that exact word that we need to hear, Father God, of your warm embrace, Father God, of that whisper that we need to hear, Father God, as we're crying out to you, asking about unanswered prayers, Father God, about salvation, about healing, about jobs, about the crosses that we are to bear in this season, Father God. It is difficult. You know that, Lord. But I pray, Father God, that you give us supernatural peace, peace that transcends all understanding, and a hope, Father God, a hope that is stirred up, that can really just stir up our spirit in a way that only you can, Lord. So I pray, Father God, for a deeper deposit of your hope, of your joy and your love in this season, and also joy. I pray, Father God, that we will all have joy that only comes from you, Father God. It doesn't matter of our circumstances. Doesn't matter about the economy, what's going on in our accounts, Father God, or even our jobs, Lord God, that there is a lot of uncertainty, Father God, but there is one thing that is certain, and that is you. So I pray, Father God, that we will fixate ourselves, Father God, on you, we'll chase after you, that we would just hold on to you, to your coattails, Father God, you know, and just know, Father God, that you've got this. You've got things in control, Father God, even when it seems like it's spinning out of control. So I pray, Father God, that you would just build up faith in our community. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us a word, Father God, for our colleagues, for our families, for our friends, Lord God, that we will be bold, Father God, bold today, bold tomorrow, bold this week, bold from this day forward, Father God, to profess our faith and to share, Father God, who you are. That we would not have any fear or shame or condemnation or insecurity or wondering if people are going to think that we're weird or that they will look at us differently or expect our performance to be different because we're Christians, Lord God. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just recalibrate us, you align us in the way that we are designed to be. So I just thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just, encourage you all, if you want to stay, please take some time for your personal time of prayer.